SPAC President Christopher Shiley and CEO, otherwise known as Chief Executive Officer, Elizabeth Sobel, join us this morning for a preview of the summer season at SPAC, including highlights from the New York City Ballet and the Philadelphia Orchestra. For those of you keeping score at home, when last we met, Chris was SPAC's Senior Vice President of Artistic Planning. And then apparently there was a card game. And he either won or lost. I think.
We're still trying to determine.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And now has been promoted to President, overseeing SPAC's programming and day-to-day operations in alignment with the organization's goals for the future. And congratulations. That's just wonderful, wonderful news.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to have this new opportunity and to continue to contribute to SPAC for the future.
And I, by the way, I won the card game.
I was going to say, so what is this? And then you remain CEO. What does this mean for your day-to-day job?
Yeah, so, you and I have been talking now for 8.5 years when I was president and CEO. And this allows me for the first time in 8.5 years to actually focus not exclusively, but almost exclusively on strategic issues and bigger level fundraising, which I think I once described my first 8 years to you as both building and driving a Lamborghini at the same time. And now...
Thanks for building it.
Now you just get to drive the Lamborghini?
I hope so.
There you go. Good for you.
No, but it's been really a joy to now... share this with Chris.
It seems like a two-human job. In the sense of it's a lot for anyone to do, one person to do, because it's two very different things that need to be done at different times. But and you would think to yourself, well, we do this during the summer, then we do this in the off season, but that's not how it works.
No, and actually, I would say it's no longer the off season when we present in the Spa Little Theater. We are now literally a foot to the floor, 12-month a year organization. So I think just the demands on the the time of each employee, but particularly at the leadership level, it's huge. And if you think about the transformations that we've gone through. The whole Pines, the Pines transformation of the campus, exponential growth of programming, all of those sorts of things. And our staff hasn't really grown along with the growth of the organization, which is something we're addressing now.
So you come into this, Chris, obviously wide-eyed in the sense of you. I mean, you've been. How long have you been with the organization?
Seven and a half years would be my eighth summer.
Okay, so almost as long as Elizabeth. Yeah. So you certainly know what the playing field is, but when you think of this, okay, so now we can, for you personally, I can really work in it and work on this.
Mm-hmm.
And what is this?
Well, I mean, I think it's continued work in programming, but really driving, I think, efficiencies around, programming drives what we do, right? The shows, whether it's education, whether it's programming itself, that's at the heart of what we're doing. And now it's really thinking about how the whole operation kind of works to support and move that forward, especially as we continue to grow and expand that programming and those initiatives for the future. So for me, it gives me a strategic opportunity to not only think about artistically where we're going and what that looks like in the future, but also to make sure that the operations and sort of the you use the Lamborghini analogy. So the chassis of the car or whatever is moving us forward. I'm not good with cars, so I would have gone with a house myself. But
well, I mean, no one expects you to be good with cars. It's not like you have an auto museum in your parking lot.
Right.
Touché.
But I find it interesting that if one is to read the headlines, if one is to look in the news, if one is to look at the world of performing arts, it just seems like given where we are right now with grants and funding and education, that it's just a big mess.
Yeah.
And I wonder so how do you keep yourself away from the mess and try to plan for the mess and continue and have it not be messy?
Well, it is a mess in some respects, and I think you have to just not you know, you don't want to put your head in the sand and pretend it's not what it is. You need to kind of look at it head on and deal with it. But I think at the same time, these moments of turmoil that we go through reaffirm why we do what we do and kind of point to, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's complicated to be doing the arts right now. But at the same time, it's more important than ever, and it makes us almost want to double down on what we're doing and why we're doing it. So in some ways, there's a component of feeling re-energized in these moments of, yes, this is important, and now I really truly see why this is valuable and why we need to continue to do it. At the same time, yeah, it does make it more complicated, and we have to look at those challenges and face them head on and deal with them head on.
And for you, as far as fundraising and making sure that everything is there for what you want to do and what you can do, that playing field changes as well.
It does. I mean, I, you know, as Chris was speaking so eloquently about both the challenges and the doubling down, because the mission feels so important, more important than ever now. I think about the COVID era, you know, and how I would say SPAC went through a philosophical and sort of a kind of a transformation in how we looked at the organization during COVID that was one of the most powerful things we've ever been through. It really helped us look at the organization, how we serve the community, as opposed to just like raising money to put more bodies on the stage or whatever, which is also important. But how do we really serve the community? And so when we're out there, you know, raising money, working on strategic partnerships, it really is about what are we doing here and how are we acting as change agents for good in our community, in the world. And I think that's what keeps us really focused on what we're doing and how we're doing it.
So let me ask the question about, because I want to get into the seasons and of both the ballet and the orchestra, but these are organizations themselves who are having their share of problems. I mean, they're living this every day as well.
Yeah, I mean, what is unique about SPAC when we get into these residencies is that we have this 59-year now partnership with them. So it is a collaborative relationship, and we go through these ups and downs together with them. They are partners of ours. It's not a one-off where this summer we're going to present the Philadelphia Orchestra, so it's a one-time sort of transactional thing. It's an established relationship that we've developed, and so we very much approach it with them and with the ballet as a collaborative effort. And I think when we're in these moments of challenge, we embrace that challenge together as well.
So when you look at the residency of the New York City Ballet, 6 performances and with the full company and unique programming as well.
Yeah, we're very excited to have the season that we're bringing this summer. It starts with really the anchor of it is the return of Coppelia, the beloved full-length story ballet. It's a really special ballet for SPAC. It was premiered at SPAC in 1974, so it actually celebrated its 50th last year. Unfortunately, we couldn't bring it in time to the 50th anniversary, but we're thrilled to have it back. 50-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
First time at SPAC since 2019. It's such a, you know, whimsical, fun, engaging ballet for families, people of all ages. And one of the things that I think is very special about it and that George Balanchine did when he created the ballet was he created this role for local dancers and local children to participate in the production. And so we have 35, you know, local student performers as part of the production. It's their chance to be on stage with the New York City Ballet, getting all that excitement as they go through the week. And that's really special to draw that direct connection between New York City Ballet and the Capital Region.
And commissioned by SPAC in 1974.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so you've added to the repertoire. I mean, that's an amazing thing to look at and to celebrate.
And 50-ish years later, it's a signature, you know, signature of their rep. It's a big part of what they do.
And having seen it, it just the kids, it's just amazing to see. I mean, that's a very cool thing.
Yeah, it really is. It really is special to, you know, we always want to bring in families. We always want to connect with the community. But this is maybe in some ways the most direct connection when they're actually on the stage with the performers.
Sure.
Being a part of it. That's really special.
July 9th through the 11th, the Saturday matinee on the 12th. of Capellia. And then Robbins, Balanchine, and Peck, two performances, yes?
Two performances. It's a very exciting program that sort of shows the other side of New York City Ballet. I think at their core, they are a company built on innovation. George Balanchine was an innovator, through his choreography. I think you can certainly say the same about Jerome Robbins. And Justin Peck, in his tenure now as resident choreographer, has very much innovated the way that they're presenting and producing ballet as well. So you are sort of getting these three innovators in their own eras, and we're presenting three works. The first will be Robbins in G major, first time it's back in over 20 years, so very excited to have that piece featured on the residency. And then we will move to George Balanchine's Stravinsky Violin Concerto, an incredibly, sort of a signature work for him, something that really showcases the athleticism of the company. And then the last piece is a new work that premiered this year called Mystic Familiar by Justin Peck. It's set to the music of Dan Deacon and infuses electronica with the live New York City Ballet Orchestra. Incredible visuals, incredible costumes. It feels very current, very fresh. So you're getting these sort of three moments of innovation in the company's history that we're excited to share.
A wonderful way. This obviously is early July, and these performances, the first Friday, July 11th for a matinee, and then on the 12th on Saturday is the finale night. So a great way to go out. Then we move on to August, the Philadelphia Orchestra. And this is still very robust in the number of performances that you're doing, August 6th through the 23rd. That's a good chunk of your time.
Yeah, 12 unique shows, every single one a different program. We're the only ones that try this, four shows a week. It is a lot, but it's
have another card game.
Right, yeah, I know, right? But it's what makes us special, right? Every night is completely different experience at SPAC with the Philadelphia Orchestra. and we're so fortunate to have them willing to take on such adventurous programming as we go through their residency. We try to strike a balance with their residency of really celebrating who they are as the one of the greatest orchestras in the world and their core classical programming, but also finding opportunities to bring in some programs that sort of cross over either into other genres or reach a broader audience through things like the film nights. And I think we've got a great mix of that this year that we're very excited to share.
How the hell did you get Cynthia Erivo?
Well, you know,
the hottest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
Act-wise, and man, you nailed it.
Well, to say that we're lucky is an understatement. I mean, we're thrilled to have her. But I will tell you, this is an ongoing journey. It started in 2020, actually. And I was working with her team at the time. We all, of course, know how 2020 ended, unfortunately.
Right.
But
yes.
Before all of that, we were working with her team to have her come and do a show. And we were pretty much there. We were ready to say it's good. And then I got a phone call, and they said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to cancel. I said, what can we do? Anything. What can we do? We're so close. And they said, well, she's got this opportunity to go to Europe and film, and she can't move it. And she's going to be starring in Wicked with Ariana Grande, and she's got to go film it. And I said, oh, okay, well, I understand. I guess that's that. And so here we are all these years later now on the other side of Wicked, finally making this this engagement happen.
Right.
So we're thrilled. She's just incredible. It's going to be such an exciting night. And she is just such an amazing vocalist. It's going to be just incredible.
But only one of the incredible performers who are coming this season.
Correct, yeah. I mean, on the kind of continuing on the crossover side, we have Leve, who was at our Jazz Fest last year. She is referred to as Gen Z's It Girl, and she really just has this...
I thought that was Elizabeth.
That
is Elizabeth.
You know, I'm ready to step down from Gen
all right.
Z It Girl, you know.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. she really just has this incredible following of fans. It's already, both her and Cynthia are sold out inside, but we're still very much selling the lawn for both of them. And they're going to be two incredible nights that really bring in, I think, different audiences to SPAC to experience the magic of SPAC and the Philadelphia Orchestra through those programs. That's part of why we do those crossover nights. And then we have some incredible film nights. We'll be doing year six at Hogwarts this year with Harry Potter. And so
we're
very
up
excited.
To year six.
We're up to year six, yeah. And then we also will do the 40th anniversary celebration of Back to the Future.
I'm very excited about that.
Which will be great.
Yeah.
I, I'm going to just say that we will have a DeLorean on the grounds for people to see. I don't know how you can do that show and not have one. So
yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. And, you know, I skipped my prom to see Back to the Future.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's quite a story.
Yeah,
wow.
1985, graduated from high school in 85. Yeah. And we, my friends, we were ready to go. We were going to go to the prom. And which, you know, was going to be awful.
Right.
And one of my friends said, you know, I won tickets to the opening of this down at the Eric Twin in Center City. Do you want to come? And the whole group of us said, yes.
Excellent.
So that's what we did instead. Yeah. Very exciting. So 40 years later, very old. Renee Fleming.
Yes. And then on the, you know, certainly don't want to neglect the core classical. So we have Renee Fleming coming back, first time since 2016. This is a very special program called The Voice of Nature that really looks to kind of showcase the power of art and nature together, which just feels so perfect for us at SPAC, right? We're in this beautiful 2,400-acre state park with all the natural beauty that surrounds us. And so to have this program that will include some visuals from National Geographic with Renee singing, accompanied by the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's going to be a really beautiful evening, and we're very excited to have her back with us.
I've got to know the folks from Time for Three a couple years ago, and and they're my God, are they talented, and just a little bit nuts. And
that's a perfect. Yeah, I think we're going to use that quote for marketing purposes.
Well, and not on stage as much as just, I don't know, the after party, as they were just like chugging entire bottles of wine. But I I won't get into who, but it was fun.
Yeah.
God, it was fun. But my goodness, they're talented.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
They're incredible. I mean, we've been fostering this relationship with them over many years. They were just here for a holiday show
at the
Spotlight Theater,
yeah,
which was tremendous.
Was
and so they're back to do a concerto with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Last time we had them with the Philadelphia Orchestra, it was in 2022. They did a concerto by Kevin Putz that we commissioned, and it actually went on to win them their first Grammy Award, which was incredible for the recording that they did with the Philadelphia Orchestra later that year. And so we're commissioning again. We're bringing Mason Bates, an incredible composer, Pulitzer Prize winner, and he is and Grammy winner, and he's just somebody whose work we've been featuring a lot over the years, and he has an incredible relationship with Time for Three. They developed this work that will very much kind of feature the orchestra and Time for Three doing what they do best, and will include some electronica as well, so it'll feel very current, very fresh. It's going to be a very exciting piece. So,
all right, what am I missing?
Verdi Requiem.
Okay.
Yeah, we welcome Yannick Nézès again back, music director, artistic director of the Philadelphia Orchestra. He's going to do two programs. I mean, he's the most in-demand conductor in the world right now. The first program will be a night that features the Firebird, Stravinsky's, you know, beloved Firebird, and an incredible pianist, Beatrice Arana, she's coming back to SPAC for the first time in 10 years. We are the only date that she's doing in the U.S. this summer. We're the only venue she's coming to. We're very excited to have her back with us doing the Rachmaninoff Rhapsody on a theme of Paganini, one of the great piano concertos in the repertoire. And then Yanni comes back right after doing that on night two to do the Verdi Requiem, you know, one of the most iconic, for lack of a better word, just epic pieces that there is in the rep. We will have the Albany Pro Musica Chorus, 100 singers on stage,
wow,
the large orchestra, four superstar soloists from the Met stage singing the operatic solo parts. So it's just going to be an incredible evening. That's going to be a very special performance.
And there again, that's something that hasn't been on the stage in, over 30 years.
Yeah, since we've had the Requiem. Yeah.
So that's some really good stuff.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I also want to mention Marin Alsop returns for the first time since 2017. She's now the principal guest conductor of the orchestra.
Three programs.
She's going to do our opening night, Tchaikovsky Spectacular, always one of our favorite ways to kick off the residency. And then two very special programs. She'll do The Planets, Gustav Holst's The Planets, a signature work with Randall Goosby as the violin soloist that evening, doing the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto. First time in over a decade that we've had that work. And then she'll also do a program featuring the music of Gershwin and Bernstein. She has such a close connection to Leonard Bernstein, her mentor. She's such a great interpreter and performer of his music. So we're thrilled to have her back with us doing three programs in week one.
And then again, the work at that's being done at the Spotlight Theater up until September 2nd.
Yeah.
Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center is back.
Yeah.
And they'll be that's throughout the summer.
Yeah, they'll be doing 6 programs starting June 15th. It's coming up quick, but it's going to be an incredible summer residency with them. And as everyone knows, we are planning some renovations of the Spotlight Theater for our future. We're very excited about. So this will kind of be the final slate of performances in the Spotlight Theater in its current iteration before we go under those renovations. So yeah,
before you put a hammer into David Fingal's hand and tell him to go to town.
How well you know our artists.
Yeah, right. Yeah, David would love that. Yes.
That's wonderful. Is there anything you would like to add to all of this fun and frivolity, Elizabeth?
No, I just like to say every time I hear Chris kind of go through the programming, we come in here and we do this every year, and every year it seems like it's the best season ever. And I think this year is really incredible. The thing that I still kind of wake up every morning kind of feeling like this is so miraculous. I feel like it's important to say both New York City Ballet and the Philadelphia Orchestra, this is the only place in the world that they do what they do and that they're back every single year. This is the 59th year. So it's just pretty amazing.
And in that it's supported. And audiences come, and they expect it, and they want it, and it makes you feel good about. I don't know. I don't know about you all. I'm having trouble finding things to feel good about. That makes me feel good.
Yeah, you come to SPAC. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like I have
it's
to say,
it's a beautiful experience.
It's just great. And when we're also privileged to work alongside all the amazing education stuff that's going on at SPAC, serving the community. That gets you up in the morning.
And is the Jazz Festival, and that's coming up, and that's another thing. And I think we either did do that or we are doing that.
We'll go on a deep dive. But
I was on vacation, and I didn't know whether that was done in my absence or that was coming up.
We would never do that in your absence.
Okay, good.
No.
Well, we'll look forward to that. So I mean, that's June. That's
coming up,
around the corner.
Last full weekend of June, 2 days, 22 bands. We've got a really exciting lineup this year. Trombone Shorty will be back with us to close the festival on Sunday evening. Longtime favorite of the festival. He's got a great history in Saratoga. He actually kind of got his start at the Skidmore Jazz Institute when he was just a kid before he became really Trombone Shorty. So it's always nice to kind of have that connection and have him back. And then Gary Clark Jr. Will make his festival debut, headlining on Saturday night. One of the great guitarists, musicians of his generation, somebody that we've been eyeing for a while on the festival, and we're thrilled to have him back with us.
And Live Nation concerts have already started, right?
Oh, yeah.
You had Matt Rife.
Yeah, that was Sunday.
Yeah.
We've got 4 in a row this weekend.
Was that full?
Was it crazy? No, it was a nice crowd. I mean, it was a great way to kick it off, and it was a great show, and the audience seemed very happy, and it was just a perfect way to kind of start things off. Wish it was a little warmer, but early May in upstate New York, this is what happens.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'll leave it there. I just remember going to shows in SPAC in like late August and thinking to myself, my God, I'm going to freeze to death.
Yeah.
But that's fun.
That's part of the charm.
Part of the charm. Yeah. Part of the experience.
People are intrepid here in upstate New York.
Absolutely.
They'll bring a coat. They're ready. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. SPAC, I believe there was one night where they have the strict policies, and finally they were like, okay, you can go out and get a blanket and come back in. Please go. Don't die. Yeah. Come on back. Just scrape the windows of your car.
That's our priority. Just don't die.
Don't die.
That's right. That's what we want you to do. SPAC.org to find out more information about this incredible, amazing season that is upon us. SPAC.org. And my deep thanks to these two wonderful individuals, SPAC President Christopher Shiley and CEO Elizabeth Sobel. My love and reverence to both of you for the great work you do and for sharing with us this morning.
And back to you, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thank you
very much. Again, you can find out more at SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.